It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in BEA, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. It's very nice. It's very nice outside. That's right. You know, I had to put shorts on. I tell you, you know, it sucks to be y'all out there, man. I tell you, you know, it's very nice here. Of course, it's really hot in the summer, but then that's what swimming pools are for. So what we're doing today is we're going to have a conversation real quick, because I know they're busy, man. It's got Ross Edwards and Jim Scott. They're in studio. Fashion for a silver economy. Now, what they're doing is out in the workshop, we have our six-head T-shirt silk screening doing extraordinaire kind of dry and make it go whir thing. And they've been making a lot of shirts over the past couple of months. And they've got their own design. Ross and Jim have just got all inspired with this QR code. And they have a meme, and they'll explain what that means and so on. And they're, and Ross is really big time behind the silver barter, I guess is what you do, but he does the dime cards, and he's very creative in them. I mean, there's a lot of them. You're showing, oh, look at my new designs. Well, I want that one, and 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 I want that one. And you know, a lot of them are going to be Christmas gifts and sent to people that, you know, really can appreciate a lot of the creative work that he's done. But what we're going to talk about today is, you know, some of the activism that we've been doing here. Ross went down a couple weeks ago. We went down to Casa Grande. Oh, yeah, that's right. We get to talk about that. Casa Grande Tea Party, man. All the neocons. I mean, it was thick. And I was a youngin'. I was 50 years old. I was one that, you know, I brought the average age down a little bit. But what happens is they are really pumped up and doing a lot of shirts. And they made a bunch. We made some took some pictures, and we're going to put those up on the archive of today's show so you can see some of the designs that they've done. But I want to go and ask Ross about it. You know, tell me, man, you know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish with these shirts? Why did you get so excited about doing that? And tell us about some of the design.
Well, first, I don't think there's a need for many more shirts right now in the Liberty Movement, although there may be a different design. So our goal is to bring alternative designs to shirts that are a little offbeat. The meme thing, the meme definition of a meme is a contagious idea. You can look on Wikipedia.
It's kind of like a viral zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's like a global inside joke.
Right.
So anyway, the real thing is the silver project, the silver dime cards. But it got to the point where I don't want to have to pull out the card every time and show it to everybody all the time. So I thought, well, I need a T-shirt so that people who are shy can still scan the code and go to our site, read what we're all about, and then maybe get back to us later. That's why I thought maybe we should do some shirts. The first thing I thought about making a shirt was, we're at Libertopia. Freedom's Phoenix was there. Cop Block was there about a month and a half ago in San Diego, and they had a great shirt, the classic Don't Tread on Me snake. But I liked that they changed it around and put "or anybody." And I liked that because it really stresses the point that it's not just about me, why I care about freedom and liberty. It's about because I care about other people, and I want to share experiences with them because that makes us all better. And
that sounds like a Christmas article.
Oh, okay.
I don't care just about me. I got a little thread of altruism in me. Well, you know, is that really so, or do you just think that you're better off by advocating for everybody?
That's probably the case. I like markets, and I like diverse markets, so I want to let people express who they are without being encumbered. So anyway, but that's why I thought let's change that logo around for us when I get back to Phoenix. Let's make Don't Tread on Meme. So I went and I registered the domain with the help of Nick and Drew and Jim here, and we all built the site and got it going. And we just want to stress that it's just a fashioning effort, a marketing effort, a branding effort for the silver cards, because really that's the goal, is the political goal or the economic goal, really, of undermining dishonest money.
Man, if you teach all these Occupy Wall Street guys that it's just, you want to piss off the man, you just start trading in silver and it's all over, man. They don't need to occupy nothing.
Yeah, we went down there and we tried to tell them, and they're a little suspicious of capitalists, but I think they understand a little bit. And that's what this meme thing's about, is we don't really advocate any kind of authority figure. We advocate ideas.
I advocate me as my authority figure. I vote that one. Jim, tell me, you know, you guys, you're roommates, but you also work together. You know, are you guys willing to talk about, you know, where you guys work and how, you know, you guys know each other?
Yeah, we work at a 1,100 megawatt combined cycle power plant out in Tonopah. We met there, and then we kind of friends for a while, and Ross recently bought a house, and he's like, hey, you want to move in? I'm like, sure. So we work opposite shifts pretty much, because we work shift work, so we see each other every now and then, but we almost like we have a house to ourselves a majority of the time. So then, you know, when we're got days off, we do stuff like this, or we try to do other Liberty things or stuff.
Oh, yeah, you started, well, you know, is he a big infection on you?
Yeah, he, you know, I've always, even before I moved here, I was always a Ron Paul fan, and maybe I never understood why. And then, you know, kind of Ross started planting the seeds. I started reading Austrian economics and stuff like that. And then that kind of gets you fired up more about it. You learn more about the Federal Reserve and all that stuff.
So
and,
really, he's gotten you reading all this Austrian economics stuff? Because I know he's a madman. He's got his, you know, Kindle or whatever with Mises crap every day all the time. I mean, you're not normal. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, Jim's a literary scholar already before I even showed up. So I think it's all about what's in front of you, and then you kind of just get going on.
You know, the thing is, so you guys know, some of you guys, and you'll see the pictures and we put them up, but a lot of you guys probably seen a lot of stuff from Porkfest. You know, Ross was there too. And, you know, and he's so cute. You know, he's, you know, Facebook, you know, his hair has his own Facebook page, you know, and the women are just drooling. All I see it happen. It's amazing. And he loves standing out in front of the table marketing his dime cards, because you're hitting on every freaking female on the planet. And I know that's what's going on. But, you know, the thing is that you're so effective at this. And I'm telling you, the creativity that comes into the producing of these cards. Now, one of the things you use that I'm very supportive of, and I wind up buying a bunch of them, is the magazine covers for Freedom's Phoenix, because we have some really good Scott Beezer art, and they make really good cards. And but you also use a lot of classic stuff like Road to Serfdom, and, you know, 1980, George Orwell, 1984, and some Mises stuff, and Lou Rockwell, and on you. And you really try, as one of your marketing abilities, is you incorporate a lot of these different groups to get them interested in having the card, because
like
it has
collections.
It's awesome. And I remember one was it was Too Big to Fail, and it's the Death Star. From Star Wars. I go, I gotta have that one, man.
Hat tip to Drew and Nick, the Star Wars fans, for requesting that one.
That was awesome. I got, you know, you need to make a bunch more of them. But the, you know, so where does the inspiration just hit you, and you go boom, and you have what, Photoshop skills, and you just on it?
No, it's Apple. I just have a 3x4 table, and I if I see something on Facebook I like, I just copy and paste it and drop it. And it takes a discerning eye sometimes to see what'll work out well or not in graphics. But honestly, it's not a lot of work. It's just seeing what will hit. It's getting back to the meme thing.
No, you think it's easy, but a lot of people don't have that kind of eye. Have you used some of yours, Jim?
No, not really. I'm fairly new to the dime card thing. I usually help make them and stuff, but I think I'll probably, since I'm more involved in the Don't Tread on Meme brand now, I'll probably get more involved with the dime cards and stuff here on in. We've got a few ideas that are actually new ideas that we're talking about now.
So, you know, I didn't know. I know, I guess it was a week ago, you know, last Saturday, or wasn't this Saturday? I don't know. When were you over here? I mean, you were over here for like, I didn't even know you. I knew you were talking about kind of sort of maybe coming. You know, they always say that. They never show up. But anyway, you know, they show up.
Teenagers.
They don't show up. I don't. Yeah, teenagers. That's what I always teenagers. You know, they leave a mess. They're a freaking teenager. I don't care how old they are. They leave me a mess. But anyway, they've been pretty good about it. So I let them, you know, just go, man. It's over there. You know where the key is. Knock stuff out. So you were over there, I guess, all day. I had no idea how long you were there. How many? Because you had a new shirt on. I'm going, wow, man, that's cool. Tell me about the shirt you're wearing now.
I'm wearing this. Actually, this is my idea. This is the hipster kitty. He's a kind of a semi-popular internet meme, but I guess the point of it is to talk about the obscurity of these dime cards. You know, it says, I've been trading with these cool silver dime cards. You probably never heard of them. And it's a cat wearing a hood, and he's wearing ironic glasses.
Horn-rimmed glasses that he probably doesn't need to wear.
Probably doesn't need them, no.
And cats don't need prescriptions.
No. Yeah, so it was just kind of the joke about the, you know, the trading of it and stuff like that.
Well, it's also got the QR code on it and goes straight to it and everything. Have you been wearing these out yet? Have you got
Oh, yeah. I wore one to work the other day. And
I wore the original Don't Tread on Meme Snake. I wore it through flying back to Chicago last week for Thanksgiving and then back here. And the double takes I get are amazing. And I'd like to comment on something we've both learned for branding. My background's engineering. Jim's background is literature and chemistry and all that, but I think this is a great exercise personally for me. I don't know for you too, Jim, but like I've always been sort of a bad salesman or a bad advocate to get my message out quickly, and this has been good for me to learn about advertising and marketing and branding and really trying to focus in on something that's memorable. And it must be some sort of a rule of marketing that if you don't update your logo more than so many times in so many years, people stop seeing it. They'll ignore it, like the Coke thing or Pepsi. And I think with the Don't Tread on Me Snake, the tea parties were popular 3 or 4 years ago. And my dad likes this new shirt because I think he likes it because you have to do a double take because it doesn't say Don't Tread on Me. It says Don't Tread on Meme. And then it has this
M-E-M-E.
Yeah, Don't Tread on M-E-M-E. And people say, who's Meme?
Yeah.
Well, look it up. And then the QR code, that's just – it really gets your eye. And so I was going through the airport and all this. I was getting so many double takes. Whereas if I would have had that original Don't Tread on Me Snake on, people would have just ignored it. And that's why I love this thing. And getting back to it, it's really just about the silver dime cards. But the shirts and the marketing is a whole nother level we're trying to focus on. I know Nick and Drew and some others really started with the dime cards, and we kind of took a little bit further. But
well, this is the one thing that, you know, I've noticed over the – I've been doing this a long time, a couple decades, you know, this kind of stuff. And I tell you, yeah, as time goes on, you start to realize how rare it is for someone to have your eye. Then you have the determination and the desire and the motivation to see something through. You have the creativity and the mind's eye to see in the future how this stuff, you know, will have an impact. And then you recognize the impact that it does have and various different things that you do. So I'm, you know, this is you going, yeah, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to you. And it's not that hard to some people. But I'm telling you, man, it is amazing how rare it is. And I don't really understand. Is it like public school or it's chemicals or it's, you know, something? I mean, it's, you know, it's a wavelength of the television, and they screwed you up at Sesame Street. I mean, something happened that beat this imagination out of humanity. And I don't think it's as rare, or it would be even more commonplace to have this kind of, it's just like you're immune to the preservatives in, you know, Ritz crackers or something. I mean, you know, there's...
Well, I've gone paleo now, by the way, so...
What does that mean?
Oh, I've gone caveman lifestyle. You only live how you would live 10,000 years ago.
So you eat, you know, wolf or something?
Yeah.
I don't remember...
Start with my dog at home.
I don't remember caveman having MacBook Pros and
Blackberries. No, I bought a Kindle because the screen doesn't flicker, and it doesn't give off blue light like you only should be having in the middle of the day rather than before bedtime.
Hey, man, gone hardcore.
Yeah.
You know, except you can't argue with it when you are affected by it. I mean, when you're actually, your mind's clear, you think faster, you're not as stressed. There's so many times that you'll, and a lot of times, I know you're at work, you're probably in front of a computer screen, you can't, you know, totally, avoid everything, but I'm sure you make an effort.
We, at any moment, drop of a hat, we got to go fix things. It's like a battleship.
Yeah. So the way, you know, where you work, so you're at a power plant that is like, you know, you keep my lights on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got to work Christmas this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Get paid extra, extra?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Honestly, we're treated very well at our jobs. We're not a utility. We only survive by the work that we do there, and we get a bonus for how well we do, and we won't run at a loss, so I like the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Cool. So is there some future stuff you got, Jim? I mean, you know, once this gets started and you start getting, you know, kind of the passion for this, and fortunately, it's a lot of times the stress comes when they try to make it sustain themselves. I mean, oh, I'm going to be rich. And then you kind of lose the fun and the creativity. So you guys make a good living out there. I mean, you could, like, you know, support like families and stuff. And now all you're doing is supporting all your, you know, your fun. So, you know, that's cool. And you guys are young. You're mid-20s or something? Or
25.
Yeah.
And you're about 25, too?
26.
Yeah. Oh, man, these guys got so much ahead and they're so cute. You know, you guys are going to see. Go look at the their web pages. You guys got web pages. You know, you have – what are the web pages you guys got?
We're learning. I'm learning how to do this. So is Jim. The splash site that we want when someone sees our shirt is donttreadonmeme.com. And that's going to be the images that you see. It's going to reinforce that you found us, and you'll see what we believe in, and then you'll see the apparel. We're going to do a modeling shoot soon or something, and then it'll be a link to the real project, which is the Silver Dime cards, linked to whatisthiscoinworth.info and onceuponadime.info. The whatisthiscoinworth.info is the app site for your Droid, iPhone, or even BlackBerry.
The Silver Calculator.
Right. Silver Calculator's had over 6,000 downloads. It's amazing. We're getting – or Nick and the rest are getting suggestions every day of how to upgrade it for premium use. And hits from all over the world on that.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So, and it looks like Nick's really starting to spend a lot more time on these apps. You know, he's really learned a lot about doing apps. He does – you go to Freedom's Space Phoenix, mm-hmm. Freedom's Phoenix in the Droid market – and then you'll start to see, you know, even ZeroGov. You know, William Buport has a site, ZeroGov. They put his app there, too. So they're starting to, you know, kind of produce these apps for all these different kind of voluntarist movements and organizations and so on, and starting to sell and market it to them, and because we customize it, what we wanted to do and everything, and it really worked out well. So I'm telling you, man, they're going iPhone now. I just paid them to make sure they get the iPhone app in. So it's going to be iPhone. We're on the Android already. And then BlackBerry. Eh, you know, I don't know what about that.
When you say we, you're talking about the Freedom's Phoenix monthly magazine, right?
No, our app for the site.
Oh, for your newsfeed.
Yeah, the newsfeed has its own app, you know, that goes. And then, of course, you know, the magazine, which is, you know, a lot of this I'm expecting an article out of you guys, like tomorrow, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, get on it. Well, Jim, I mean, this is something new, this kind of activism. Have you done this kind of effective, penetrating, top of the heap, talking about on Facebook, kind of you guys, you know, got big biceps kind of activism?
No, not at all. No, this is definitely new, but it's fun, so.
Yeah, well, you were out there for like all day, like 8 hours by yourself. T-shirt making by yourself, easy?
Power tools.
I was. I committed, to show you how committed we are to customer service, I had committed some shirts to some people, and I wanted to make sure they were done and in the mail. That way I could keep my promise. And Ross, he had to go back to Thanksgiving to see his family. So yeah. It was definitely a lot harder by one person, but I had to get those shirts out.
Yeah, like, you know,
because you had came the week before we tried to do them, and we thought, and the temperature was too cold, so the ink started getting kind of thick, but I think it was because, you know, because Ross was like jerking around with it under a heat lamp or something to warm it, and then he screwed it up. That was what the problem was. But anyway, so it worked out well today?
We're learning a lot of things, and please contact us if you want to do this operation ever, because there's a lot of things we could tell you that'll save you time. Two Guys is great. A guy that has dirty hands and clean hands so that we don't damage the product. You know, the kinds of fabric we've had to go through, the kinds of paint, and the kinds of screen, you know.
Ink,
yeah. And then also with the dime cards, getting back to our Bedrock project, let us know if you have any suggestions, what you'd like as far as for your Liberty group. We could probably make a bulk order at a fair price. And I'm setting up a shop. I think I'm going to use Etsy for our shop. So I'm going to have a link out of our website to get the t-shirt.
So what's Etsy? Like a Etsy's shopping like, cart thing?
Etsy's like an eBay that's very direct and focused for only craftsmen and artists. I don't know. There was this girl I saw last year who sold necklaces on there. That's why I know about it. And I thought if she could do it, we could probably do it. And but they keep out people. You can't just sell Reeboks on there or something. You can't just sell a bunch of crap. So
it's like a hipster Craigslist.
Yeah, it's like right now they have
handcrafted
like,
kind of.
Check it out
cool
for
stuff.
Christmas gifts.
How you spell it?
ETSY. And there's right. a hilarious parody site called Regretsy. Where they showcase just failed items. So, that's how we're going to do it, because I like outsourcing that all that paperwork. And
Well, the thing is that you're the kind of person that didn't really know a lot of this kind of geeky stuff like, you know, Nick does.
Interwebs, yeah.
You know, but I mean, you're a smart guy that when you need to, I mean, you just learn it.
Yeah.
You know, give me a book, done.
Internet's free, so have at it.
Cool.
WordPress, Nick and Drew just set me up with WordPress so we can not have to call them every 5 minutes to get help.
Which is why they did it.
Yeah.
I am sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been leaving Nick alone because, you know, he's back with his family for holidays and so on, and he's working on getting the iPhone app done, and he had to got another Mac computer to be able to whatever, you know. You know, one of his payment, he was the one that helped us when we first started the e-zine, the digital magazine of Freedom's Phoenix, which I, you know, the next one comes out this Friday. We're working on it right now. And what happened was we wanted to make sure that it interfaced with the iPads and the Androids and all that other stuff and the smartphones and such. So I needed somebody that knew what the heck they were doing, which was Nick. And his payment, I go, look, you do this, and you get me all set up, and you be my IT techie, kind of make it go word, and I don't got to worry about it, and you take responsibility, and done, you know, and I give you an iPad, too. And he's like, Deal, done, done. So he came out ahead on that. I came out all right. I got what I wanted. He got what he wanted, and he loves that thing, man. He lives on that freaking iPad. So, and I got an Android Zoom, because we needed to have an Android platform, too, to do this. So I paid like, I don't know, it's like $800 for that thing. And then I see on TV last night, oh yeah, Verizon, $199 if you get, I mean, get a two-year contract. But, you know, it's, you know, so I'm going, ugh. So this is the tablet is the future on this. And I'm telling you, this technology is where we're able to get on parity with a lot of the bad guys. And that's when we were at Porkfest when this QR code thing came up. And we were talking about it, and I could see where this was going to go. Because, I mean, did I call it or what?
Yeah,
that
you
thing
called
is going
it, dude.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it was like a year ago, and then we've really taken that and run.
And what? Not when a year ago. It was this last. God, was it?
It
was this last
it was
summer.
Almost a year ago.
No, it wasn't. It was June.
We're using the metric calendar? Or the, nah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, June. So it was like 6 months. So we jumped all over this thing, and it's working well. It's a very good platform. In fact, there's a new one they got come out, it has like triangles or something, you know, different colors, funky, different design.
They're very resilient. It's an awesome little code.
Because when you do, like on your shirt right now, you have it, and, you know, they wanted to get it really black, so they just really went triple thing. You know, they dry it, you know, the flash dry, and then bring it back, put another coat, and then dry it again, and put another coat.
We aim to please.
And it's kind of, I mean, it's thick. I mean, it, you know, it printed all the way through the back. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, they got it nice and thick on there. Well, it'll last forever, but it kind of blocky, and it's really dark on the QR code, but it reads, man. Just boom.
Yeah.
Goes right to it.
And that was one of the cool things. I wanted to do shirts because I wanted the proof of concept that, I mean, you've already got the stickers, and then we got the cards, and you got banners. We hadn't done shirts yet with QR codes, so good news is it works. And
works really well. And it's only the size, it just blips right to it, and that's probably, what, 2 inches by 2 inches?
That's the smallest that we've had good luck with. We did one that was like an inch and a half by an inch and a half, and it was borderline.
Really? God, man, I was surprised that worked, you know. But, some of them are kind of big. And these are really cool designs. You know, this is – and so the ultimate goal is what? Is it the promotion of silver? I mean, it's all kind of pushed around that so that you can, you know, the younger guys can rip off the grandfathers?
No. I think
that. No, you got to tell this story. I mean, now come on, tell the story.
I went back to Indiana, and my dad's dad is quite close to Ron Paul, actually, in a lot of ways. And he's got a lot of coins in the basement. And I said, hey, you got about 1,000 dimes in that jar. I said, I'll make a deal. I said, I'll go through every one of them and look and find if they're silver, and I'll give you a dollar for each one. Now, of course, market rate's about $3 on them, I think.
Nah, it's like $2.50
yeah.
now or something.
But anyway, So it worked out. I mean, I had black hands after going through 1,000 of them, and but
you ripped off your grandfather.
Hey, man,
it's,
I just
no.
Explain to us at Christmas time, around Thanksgiving, how we're not ripping off Grandpa. Go ahead.
Because, like, if you have oil under your house and you don't know it's there, and I've gone through the effort of reading about oil and where you find it, I mean, isn't that proper that you...
It's your grandfather.
Did you tell him what it was really worth? Did you explain it to him?
And he knew. It's just that he never really felt like going through them, and he was going to take them to the bank anyway, so...
That was a crime right there.
So I just rather not the bank not have them. But yeah, what's
so how
the
many
ultimate?
Did you get?
35.
Wow, that's a
and then
chunk, man.
There's a lot of other cool stuff that I haven't seen yet, like the old quarters or the old half dollars or the 40% silver instead of 90% silver, late Kennedy half dollars. And yeah, it's good to see some old coins.
All right, well, cool. So I'm glad you got out. You know, it's just, you know, Grandpa.
And I flew, made it through security without being double-checked on those. Just because I'm good at reading people, and I chose the college age dude at the end who didn't really care.
Why? Have you had that problem before?
I went to my sister's wedding a year ago, and I took 20 rounds of silver pesos through.
Why? Just
for her wedding gift, and I just thought it's different. So
yeah,
but some lady was counting them out.
That was my daughter's dowry was silver.
Cool.
They love me now.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, my dad said, "Nope, you just don't cash it in. You get a little saved, and we got it all hooked up." And all of a sudden, you know, Dad's just not that bad a guy, you know?
Yeah. For the record, I don't really have much at my house in Arizona. I've got it spread around the country, so don't even try.
So what are they? So you went through the airport, and they see you got all these silver pesos, and they're like, "None shall pass." I mean, what did they say?
No, they're just looking at them and finger fiddling them. And counting them and whatever. I'm just like, hey, I'd like to count those when you're done with them. I think it's because, and she said it's because they come out as a big black object in there, and which I'm working on ways where they don't.
Yeah, get my titanium wallet kind of whatever thing.
I mean, I'm not crazy here. This is, if you read history, this is where it starts. There are gates closing around the country in many ways.
Like the military arrested people. They voted on that bill today? Did you hear about what happened with that?
I need to read on it. But, I mean, even in the healthcare bill, the kinds of transactions on gold and silver and your foreign accounts and all that, I mean, you think it doesn't affect you, but then they start dropping the minimums and dropping the thresholds, and then it's too late.
You know, when we deal with, one of the Jerry Williams over here at American Precious Metals, and we were talking about that. He goes, "Oh, no, that'll never..." I go, "Hey, man, it's in the bill." "Yeah, I know, but that'll never last. They'll get that rid of that." "Yeah, the Republicans are..." "Yeah, it'll be going away." That I'm going, really?
Yeah.
Based on what? I mean, why would you even say that, you know? So I'm just, I'm not feeling comfortable about this. And the bill was... I should look it up here. We should talk about this. It really, really... my wife and I were talking about it today, and I'm just going, it's not like... This morning I had a email waiting on me that I was included in it because there were other guys that were discussing something that I wrote when I was your age back in 94. And it was, this one quote that that they used out of it, said, "Yeah, well, I agree with Ernie, blah, blah, blah." And it was basically, the social contract idea, "Hey, man, I never signed it."
Yeah.
Show it to me, And even if I did, doesn't bind them. They do what the hell they want, and screw me. So I'm just... So that was kind of the discussion, and Donna and I... So I commented on it, and I said, we need to look at what Judge Napolitano said, and we put that up today. It was if you didn't see it, you got to watch it. It was, what if your government...
Oh yes, I've seen that. I saw that on when he showed it.
Yeah, yeah, on Fox, man, that was freaking awesome. He goes, "What if the government did this for like a rant for like 5 minutes?"
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, what if? Well, they're doing it. And then there was another one that was the bill to where they... Yeah, here it is. How could this happen in America? Why police are treating Americans like military threat? And what they're doing... Yeah, that's not the one. There's one in here. That what they're doing is they can pull you off of the street. You don't get a trial. You don't get... And even the president, now they already have the thing to assassinate you. So it's just... they have declared that America is the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I saw this in 2003 when I first started doing radio. It was when they... I tell you how it happened. I got to share this with you guys. So you guys, you know, this is when I could see it coming. There was a guy named... I think his name was Walker. Jimmy Walker, Jeffrey Walker, something Walker, I think. And he became a Muslim, and he's all, you know, I'm Islam, and he's, you know, praying to the East and whatever. And he decides that he's going to go and help the Taliban in Afghanistan. He's going to go be with them. Then we invade Afghanistan.
We didn't do anything.
Whatever.
Men and women with name tags did.
Okay, so the big bad guys, you know, the government, the military, the somebody, not me, not yeah. you. Okay, I agree with you there. So the military goes and they invade Afghanistan, and then there's some battle, and they capture this guy. And all of a sudden, he's like, yo, what's up, man? I mean, you know, all of a sudden, he's American.
He looked like Ashton Kutcher or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, well.
With and, less
and
hair.
They don't know what to do with him. They're going, well, what is this? So, you know, we give him a trial. We haven't declared war. He's not a, you know, prisoner of war. There is no declared war. He's a U.S. citizen. I mean, just all these questions start popping up. So anyway, they finally go through whatever the heck that they did. But the thing was is that they go, you know, to avoid this, we need to be able to strip you of your citizenship. And I'm going, wow, we're definitely going down a dark path there. Because the Constitution, and there's a bunch of history, and if you do, I've been in a lot of lawsuits and did a bunch of against the government kind of stuff. And the Constitution is not about whether you're a citizen of the empire or not. It's right. whether you're a human being. You know, human beings have individual rights, and our Constitution recognized that because you breathe in and out, because you can fog a mirror, you have certain inalienable rights, period. Doesn't matter whether you're a citizen or not. Well, that just, you know, pisses off neocons, you know, and Democrat, everybody.
If you don't like it, leave.
So what they did is they go, you know, we want to have the capacity to strip you of your citizenship. Thinking that then you didn't have to give you a trial, you didn't have to get branded, you didn't have to have, you know, civil rights, you know, this guy. So we're just going to strip you of your rights. And I'm going, one, I know from history that's BS anyway. That doesn't mean anything. It's, just, you know, human beings all, you know, treated equal under law. But they wanted to get the mindset, the concept, the meme that you have to have citizenship to the Roman Empire or the whatever empire to have these
plantation.
Rights. Yeah. The plantation. Yeah, exactly. So I'm going, you know, I see where this goes, because once they start having this concept that they can strip you of your rights by being a citizen or not.
Privileges can be stripped. Rights can't, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if it's a government thing, then we're screwed. Well, then, of course, here comes the immigration thing to reinforce that concept. You know, no, you're not a citizen, so you don't get rights. Oh, you're an enemy combatant. You don't get rights. You're a foreigner. You don't get rights. And let me tell you where that goes. It goes to the President of the United States saying you get to be assassinated. That's where that goes.
Yeah.
And this is where Dr. Paul's been up there going, oh, man, you better, here we go. So I can see where this is going. We're already there.
Yeah.
And so this concept is, and the only way to thwart this is to quit supporting them. And I tell you where it is. It's the money system.
Yeah.
And that's where this silver thing, that's why I was so all over this silver thing. We did the wallet voting and started this. I was in with both feet and all my hands and elbows. Now I go, 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 go. So I'm very supportive of what you guys are doing, because I understand at the core, the fundamental foundational erosion of everything that they're doing, and they don't like it. So they're going to, you know, sooner or later, they'll start targeting you.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, unlike Liberty Dollar, which did a fantastic project, we're not coining anything new. We're just taking collectible coins, pre-65
fiat
dimes.
Currency.
Yeah. And we're just using them in a laminated sleeve, and we're not guaranteeing them at any value. So we know where not to step, but I know that doesn't mean anything in the end. But I don't care. It's a race at this point. And the great thing about these silver dimes is that they complement. They don't compete. They complement with Silver Circle, Del Valley Silver, Shire Silver, New Hampshire, AOCS.
Which the Silver Calculator has all them listed anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and more every day. What we like this is it's about $3 worth of silver. And also, instead of the strips of raw silver in there, everyone, even outside New Hampshire, knows that these coins, it's on Wikipedia. You can look it up. So it's the perfect amount to buy a sandwich, a burrito, or a beer from your friends at a Liberty gathering. And increasingly, to people outside the Liberty community, to people at Occupy Phoenix, They get it. And so that's why I love this project, is it makes it so that anybody can have $3 of silver in their wallet, and it's a talking point. And so, yeah, like I said, it's a race right now. If we wait to tell people about silver until when they need it, it's too late. So we need to get people to look and feel what this is and how much it is. And like Ernie talked about at Casa Grande, the Neocon Tea Party, a couple weeks ago, I talked directly with Sheriff Babu, and he came up, shook my hand, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "Well,
yeah, you're too young, man."
Yeah, and I said, "I'm sure that you can appreciate the fact that we are all armed in Arizona, and we all are ready to do so, and so am I. But I don't want it to come to that. I want people to have something in the community that they can all use and understand." Because, like I said, I don't really do much politics anymore. I love economics, Austrian economics, Ludwig von Mises, Rothbard, Jim. You know, we read it all the time. And really, that dictates history more than politics. So that's why we're trying to solidify alternative markets so that people don't come to living by brute behavior. We want people to – we like a peaceful world, you know. So we want to give people something that they can cling to.
What was his response to this?
I think he got it.
Whether he liked it or not.
Yeah.
Babu is there's Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, Sheriff of Arpaio. There's Pima County, which is Tucson. And in between the two is Pinal County, where he's the sheriff there. So he has some constituency. It's kind of up towards here in the valley, so we know who he is. And he was supported in the beginning because he was saying, "Oh, yeah, I'm against photo radar because I think cops should be ticketing you."
Yeah.
And, you know, so he got a little bit of a pass and some people support, but he's really become the big anti-immigration guy, the neocon. And we're like, man, why did he turn so fast so quick? Because he's probably going to run for Congress. And he was there just stroking it big time. And here in Arizona, we had Bill Montgomery, which was kind of a cohort of, he was county attorney along with Sheriff Arpaio, heavy duty, let's go get the Mexicans. And he lost in the primary room for attorney general. Then you had Russell Pierce, SB 1070, had a recall election just recently, and he lost in his recall. The first recalled legislator in the history of Arizona, and he was president of the Senate, and he lost, and they freaked. And I'm going, and the next day, that Wednesday morning after the election Tuesday, just a few weeks ago, all of a sudden, CNN announced that they canceled the Arizona debate they had scheduled here. You know, because like, heck no, we are not have, because their whole thing was going to be about immigration and all that stuff. So when their poster child lost, they're like, you know what? We don't want to do that anymore. So then one of the last guys standing is Arpaio, which is, you know, the guy's like senile, seriously. You know, he's there placeholder, saying that, well, I'm going to be here forever until Russell Pierce can be sheriff. So Russell Pierce probably run for Maricopa County Sheriff. You watch, that's behind the scenes stuff. We'll see what happens there. But Babu is really the last guy standing on this. So while he was speaking at this event that we were at, this Unity Party thing that they were doing, he was, the first thing out of his mouth is like, pay no attention to all the media and the newspaper and everything today and about we're all, you know, going down. No, we're not. We're a rising movement, youth of, you know, and everybody's out there in their canes and walkers.
Yeah. I don't know where they think they're going with the energy and all that. They don't have any. Yeah.
And we were the show. I mean, you know, the Freedom's Phoenix Gypsy booth, man. We were having a good time.
Our gypsy wares.
Everybody's coming over talking to us. And I'm like, you really don't want to have this conversation. I mean, seriously. You know, go talk to Ross.
Yeah, it was a bunch of politicians and then our booth, which like was the only fun booth. Yeah.
So we have fun with that. Now the other thing, I'm going to let you guys get back out there and finish making your shirts because you still got a lot more to do. I didn't want to wait. I'm like, I don't want to wait until you're freaking 1 in the morning, man. You guys are here 12 hours. You know, go ahead, we'll do a show real quick and promote it. So what is it you guys really wanted to make sure people know where to go? I mean, there's some things that they can do to get the apps. They can get the information. They can buy the shirts. You know, what would you like them to know?
The easiest, we have a Facebook page. You know, that's quick and easy. Just in Don't Tread on Meme, just put that in the Facebook search bar, that'll come up. Our website's pretty simple, you know, we don't have a whole lot going on. We're just selling t-shirts and silver pretty much, so our Facebook page is nice because it's really easy to, like today we're making shirts, I'll take a picture of us making shirts, just put on right on my iPhone, boom, it's on Facebook within a matter of seconds. And people are, you know, I've already got likes on it and comments, and I'll take an extra large and stuff like that. So it's just super simple.
Big bad guys have no idea what they're dealing with.
And then, yeah, I'm building the site, don'ttrynameme.com, so that in the sidebar you can link to our favorite influences like Freedom's Phoenix.
Yep.
Yes.
Wheels Off Liberty.
Wheels Off Liberty.
Jamie Crane is a huge fan of our project.
Has he started the show back up again?
I don't know.
I had a deal with him that I would send him some free shirts and some free dime cards for a little bit of originally I just wanted him to put a link on his Facebook, you know, about us, and he did us one better and said he'd give us commercial time on Wheels Off Liberty. So
I guess he's doing it again. He's starting back up.
He said there won't be as many, but he said, yeah, they were going to – he had no problem giving us commercial time for that exchange.
Yeah, so. He's taking a break. He was – you know what happened? I was talking to him, and you know how crazy he is and doing that. You know, are you a homo, you know, a – what is that stamp
for? Help our marketing objectives.
Yeah, something, you know. So he's – and I always tease him to have fun and everything, but he's like, you know, my kids are getting older. They're like, Dad, you know, what are you talking about? You know, it's getting kind of rough for me at home. You know,
don't come in here.
Hey, you're not allowed to listen to my show. I met those guys, and I was doing a speaking tour. I was at the Libertarian Party convention in Missouri, I think it was, and they were there. And I liked them immediately. They were a cult, you know. Yeah. We got to be good friends. And, you know, Taryn Lupo and all those
and
guys.
Brett. Which is funny because I love his School Sucks podcast because it's so lucid and thorough.
Oh, that's the guy that does. Oh.
And he's so qualified to talk about these philosophical, almost, you know, Stefan Molyneux level philosophy as far as childhood development. And but yeah, he mixes it up with the guys as the, you know, the straight comedy guy, and good group. Yeah,
yeah. You know, I asked him one. They kind of, you know. I don't know. They were kind of taken aback by it, but I asked them at Porkfest one time. They were doing the show. They, you know, somebody asked a question. I go, I got a question. Which one of you is the most homosexual? Well, we're not. That mean, I, you know, I just they. Just...
I think an objective study would be by drink choice.
Yeah,
Brett's always drinking Crystal Light, and Jamie is
drinking straight bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know what happened when we were up on stage doing something, and he kept bringing me drinks. You know, and by the time, you know, you can't hang out with him without getting drunk, you know, because he's always pounding it. But we really enjoy. I really look forward to going to Pork Fest again. Are you going to go again?
Yes. It'll be my third year, Jim's first year.
Third.
Yeah.
And then we're going
Liberty Forum in the early spring. Up there, well, it's still snowy.
That's still winter
we're
for
doing,
them. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah, getting back to our business plugs, we'll be going to a lot of events in the Valley in Arizona and Phoenix, and that's the best way to get our stuff so soon. But if we get good at this internet store,
yeah,
dude, Lower 48.
Well, we have a Freedom Law School has a thing about the same time, March or something. I'm going to be speaking at that. And I negotiated, you know, as part of that, I said, you know, all I want is the gypsy booth. Give me two spaces, and you guys get to go stupid. So we're going there doing that, and we'll get a room and everything. So that was the only thing that I wanted out of it. And so we'll have a good time with that. And cool. And I'll tell you, we get requests now to go to these functions, and they won't charge us because you guys are the show. You know, we put on the dog.
You're a
man.
Monkey, Derek. Dance.
we bring all the stuff, you know. And you got, you know, Ross out there being party and everything and chatting everybody up. You know, don't you want a dime card? So that's always good.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of shirts and so on. And we did a lot of stuff for Cop Block. You know, Nick and Drew are real heavy into Cop Block.
And I want to also talk about influence. They had some really cool shirts that were, again, stylish. George from Cop Block had this new design for girls, and it was a deep V, and like off to the side it was something like Urban Outfitters, like, and I'm like, you know, that's what sells, that's what we need shirts for girls.
Yeah, better fitting.
You know, Jim and Ross, what they did is they had to customize the base for doing the shirts, you know, on our machine here, you know, because it has various different things, but they had to customize it. So they're out there with the hacksaw and, you know, whatever,
power
with
tools.
All our power equipment or something. They're just, we got a workshop so they can do it. And they, you know, they spent a bunch of their time out there just getting it ready to be able to do these women's shirts. So that's cool.
It's all, preparation really helps. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's good. We'll let you get back to it. But I tell you, you know, this is just a lot more stuff that's going on here that's going to, you're going to be seeing a lot about. And, you know, go to, Facebook and just type in what?
Don't tread on meme.
On meme.
Yep.
Meme.
Meme.
Don't tread on meme. You know, that's like, you know, that's like a double me anyway, you know? Yeah. So it's easy to remember. Don't tread on meme. Well, you know, this is it's a good talk to you guys. I'll let you guys get back out there. And you guys, I tell you, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we do that we encourage you to. Hopefully it's inspirational to you because things are going to get bad. I mean, you know, damn, you just look at, like, I can just send the newsletter twice a day from Freedom's Phoenix, just one of them, any one of them, to any of my relatives, and it scares the crap out of them. They'll go look at my site every now and then going, oh, did you, and that, I go, man, that's just one of 100 things that we put up today. Oh, my goodness, man, it's getting bad. But I need you to not so worry about how you're going to thrive in this thing. It's just survive it. We'll thrive afterwards because we know better.
And we have relationships.
Relationships, yeah. And, you know, and if you're just sitting on a, you know, couch out in the front yard, you know, and enjoying with your friends, you're rich, whether you realize it or not.